Welcome to VFN Radio. It is Friday, and we are coming to you live from the Emerald Coast of the United States of America. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning, this Friday, to encourage you, to inspire you, to shock you with what's going on behind the scenes, to encourage you that our God has all things in control, is the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And on the skirts of Sodom, on the skirts of of the great city of Metropoli, John Ramos.
Hello.
We're going to be talking about today. I want to welcome all of our new listeners, first of all, before we even get going here. I want to say hello out there to Rusty and Roy and Vera and Anthony. Obviously, we can't get to all of you. I just want to shout out some of your names out there. Bernice and Jeanette and Laura and William and Shirley and Eugene and James and Aura and Andra and Ash and Mead and Marlon and Ivan and Troy and Lori. Sorry, can't do that one. Angel, Nancy, Timothy, Tommy, Vanessa, Daniel, David, Rhonda, Mike, James. Okay, oh my goodness. And all of you, welcome to the VFN Radio audience. Have a seat. Sit down in the virtual stadium and be encouraged. You're listening to VFN Radio. We're going to be talking about pioneers. Pioneers in our generation. Who is going to be the pioneers for God? We have pioneers for computers and technology and for nations, but who's going to be a pioneer for the nation of God, the ethnos of God, that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords over? Also want to give a shout out also to all of our listeners who are abiding today. I pray that the Lord would speak to you and encourage you and give you all that you need, the desires of your heart. Two simple instructions. Abide, hear, obey. We're also going to tell you the secret of how you can earn $480 million. $480 million. Make sure there's no static on your radio and that there's nobody making too much noise. But I found out today the secret of earning $480 million. You'll be really surprised how simple it is. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Man, here we are on Friday. It is Friday. And we are here to encourage you, to inspire you. So many things are happening. It's amazing how God uses simple people to do big things, isn't it?
Amazing.
You're constantly looking at Everest and you're going, are you sure, God? Are you sure? I was just trying to struggle this morning. And oh my goodness, thing after thing and stuff after stuff and task after task and city after city. And, we're just following Pat. You know, he's just so smart. We're just going to be inspired by all of his activity and all. John, I got good news for you.
Yes, please.
Did you hear a word about an exercise program or anything like that?
Did I get a word? No, I didn't get a word on that.
You didn't? Hold on. I didn't get a word. Serious. Did you hear anything?
No. I was waiting to hear about your program. How's your program going?
Oh, how did this shift?
I thought you had some feedback, some ideas. You know what I'm saying?
I think we got to deal with the things that we're looking at Pat and we're feeling bad about ourselves. Because, he squeaks when he walks. No, really. I got to be honest. He actually cracks and pops when he walks.
That's the truth.
The squeaking days are over. The
glossy technique is working because when I saw him, he was just trim and fit. I'm thinking, what is he doing?
No, he squeaks, pops, and whines. Ow. It's amazing. It's a thing that just happens in life. I cannot believe. So you haven't heard anything about it. I mean, it's 2013. Making all these pledges that they're not going to keep for the whole year. I mean, you hear nothing about you know, crunches? I mean, we heard about financial crunch, but what about that, you know?
No, not at all.
Serious?
At all. Serious.
How do you keep your figure, man? What is your secret?
Oh, you don't want to know my secret.
Okay, wait a minute. I just got a text from Oh. You know what I'm saying? We were preparing. We, you know, Daniel's, you know, Joseph stored up for what was happening in the future. And the truth is, some of these, you know, 8% out of body fat, 10% body fat says, you know, you're going to last for like a day or two.
That's,
you know,
right.
John and me, we're going to last a couple years. They will not call us anorexic for some time. That's right. Right?
Absolutely.
No, really. You're probably just only half as much as me because. Imagine if you were this tall. I mean, think about it.
Well, I don't have to imagine too much. I can just, you know.
Right. It's all to scale. It's all to scale. It all feels the same, right? You're right. I'm seeing all teeth here.
Yeah, right. Right.
Let's just move on from that. Let's move on. It's like ventriloquist. Let's just move on. Listen, $480 million. What's the secret? I don't know. Y'all might not want to know this. Y'all might, you know, be swimming in the dough. But $480 million, I found out the secret. I'm looking at it right now. Do you want to know what the secret is?
What's the secret?
We'll be right back after these messages. Don't you hate that? You know, you're like, you're going to sit down and you're going to watch Fox News and say, I'm just going to look at this for a little bit. And as soon as you're about to walk away from it, because the commercial's coming, and says, I said, oh, but stay tuned. The lady's leg fell off when she was flying over Mount Everest. She's like, I got to stay and see how her leg fell off, right? And you go, okay, I'll watch that. And then you watch that and you say, okay, I'm out of here. That is it. And next thing you know, they said, you know, man finds $1 million in a crack of something. It's like, oh my gosh, I got to stay for that. You know, and 7 days later, it's like, free me from this. Free me from this news cycle.
I've got to sleep.
I figured it out, though. It is a plot. It's a plot. They're trying to get you to stay past all those horrific, you know, geriatric commercials. Gold, 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 gold. What are you trying to tell us? What are you trying to tell us, right? And then those for $9.99, shipping's free. I'm going crazy. That's New York. Anyway, so when I was in New York, that Crazy Eddie's up there. I don't know if Crazy Eddie's.
Oh, no, Crazy Eddie's no more.
Man,
well,
he
the
was
prices
crazy.
Are going insane.
I'm insane. Oh, my goodness.
That's way back. That's old school commercial, but.
Well, you know, I have to say that was another lifetime. So here's the secret. Secret for $380 million.
Is a real secret.
Oh, it went down already?
$400. Well, how much do you want? You know?
He's taking notes.
He wants his millions.
Now you see why he's the producer of the radio program. Detailed, man. He just gets a little blurry in his own details, but my details, he's got them down.
He's got them
down, right?
Yeah, right.
Right, right. Why? But there is an eyebrow that keeps him in check. We're not going to mention who that is, but all of a sudden his eyebrow goes, whoop. And that's when the detector kind of looked that way and said, what's going on, man? I'm sorry. Listen, $280 million, a secret.
Man, it's getting worse and worse.
No, right.
Oh, I meant $4.80. $4.80. That is the new value of the bonds. Okay, listen, I am just blown away. $480 million. This one man is going to get paid $480 million for doing one thing. What do you think it is?
Playing in the lottery?
Oh, the lottery. Wash me, Jesus. Wash me. Oh, come on. Y'all are silent. I mean, have you seen?
And how much time?
How much time? Okay, I better take a hold of this conversation. It's not going in a good area. I never thought about these things you're thinking about. Okay, so this is what he's going to have to do. He's going to have to say sorry. He's got to apologize. And when he apologizes, America is going to give Morsi, the president of Egypt, $480 million. When he says, I'm sorry for degrading the Jews and saying they need to be destroyed and pushed into the sea and they don't deserve to live and all that stuff you said about them, when he's going to say, oh, never mind. We're going to pay him $480 million for apologizing. This is what I say. Okay, you can apologize, but then you're going to have to kiss and make up. So I want you to go and find the Prime Minister of Israel and I want you to give him a big hug right on top of Mount Moriah. Give him a big smacker, and then if we fail as Americans. That's our money.
That was genuine.
That's our. Well, that's China's money that we borrowed. Listen, we got to pay it back. So it's really, I guess it's, I don't know. You got to understand America. We don't really own anything. Anyway, listen, it looks like it's our money. If, okay, you can apologize. This is what your parents tell you. You go apologize to your brother, apologize to your sister, but I want you to hug each other, look each other, and I tell you you're sorry. That was tough. Wasn't that tough?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever do that?
I did it.
His face kind of twitched. I still limp. No, they.
Once,
but
once.
Think about it, right? If I'm going to give you $480 million, I mean, how many kids would go, I'll kiss that brother in the lips if you give me $480 million, right? But, okay, so fine. If you truly mean this, President Morsi, you go find the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel, on top of Mount Moriah, on top of the Western, you know, Mount Moriah, right there in Jerusalem, before the whole world and God and everybody, and say, I am sorry and I was wrong. Then you give them a big hug and just kiss them on both cheeks. And we'll pay you in installments. You know what? I was like, come on. So many things. We're going to pay him $480 million for apologizing, John.
Is that crazy?
Wow. We're doing it. I mean, first of all, you gave him, what was it, $1.11 million or whatever for... Right after running the closing down the Israel's embassy and running them off.
Now is that including the jets and the tanks and everything else that they're getting?
Yeah, and I think too it's tax free. I don't think they have to pay any taxes on it.
Oh, really?
You know why? Because it is our tax money. That's why. He's not even that nice. He's not even that nice to Americans. $480 million. Imagine how many. How much health care we could provide to America.
For real.
Instead of giving $480 million, $480 million. It was $1.3 billion, I think, that we gave them in the original. Remember that when they first destroyed the country. Anyway, so we're going to give them all that money. Imagine how many people in America could be taken care of. He just doesn't understand the health care needs in America. Mm-hmm. You know, he needs to really think about that before he writes a check for $480 million. Even if he apologizes. You know, we need to keep that $480 million. What do you think?
I think so.
Yeah.
How many apologies? I mean, how much repentance would take place in the church?
Yeah, right.
If you said, you know, instead of the $1.3 million per baptized believer, if you just repent, we'll give you the $1.3 million.
Oh, there'd be sackcloth and that.
Oh my goodness! Don't
they'd be
you
running
know
around
it.
In sackcloth.
It's amazing. It's totally amazing. The sad thing is, you would have done it for money instead of God, and you can't serve them both, right?
That's right.
So true.
Oh man, I was shocked. I was totally shocked when I heard that this morning. It was reported by CBN News that if he apologizes, and he said that was part of my political campaign. I was really talking about their political policies and all that. And it's like, no, you're literally talking about throwing them in the sea and they don't deserve to live, and something like they were dogs or
descendants of apes. I mean, give me a break,
man. And speaking of that, I don't know if you heard that or not. My heart just broke. And we'll make this available on the VFN Torch. But these two Jewish men dressed in rabbinical gear, you know, the curls and the hats and the robes, and they're walking through the old city, and all of a sudden these Palestinians started just screaming at them and yelling at them. It was snowing. It was icy. And then they took snowballs, and they were, like, hitting them in the face and knocked their hats off. I mean, these are, like, you know, big guys coming on. These guys, they're not doing anything at all. They made them fall in the snow. And these are men. They're doing two men. They made missiles out of a snowman type thing. They made a missile, you know. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I just want to help you. What's going on? Yeah. Listen, let me tell you something. You can see this video. We're going to make it available to you on the VFN Torch. You can go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch and see this. It's just horrific. It's horrific what's taking place. And understand that that Jesus is a Jew.
That's right.
And when you come into heaven, you're going to be welcomed into the bosom of Abraham. And it's the Jews have brought us the word of God, and they brought us salvation, because salvation is from the Jews, because Jesus is Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so that's where we're being grafted in. They're our brothers.
Mm-hmm.
There are brothers and our sisters. I mean, not everybody that calls himself a Jew is, but the true Jews, they're our brothers and sisters. And that's the apple of God's eye. When you're seeing, it's like, just the very hatred alone and the way they're treating, the Jewish people, this is like, leave them alone. It just proves to the whole world that you're just jealous and filled with envy because you know that everything that's said about them is true. Mm. Everything that's said about them, including even when you pile up all of your armies around and try to harm them in any way, that God's going to defend them. Mm. And according to some of the things that we just heard recently in a talk from John Hagee about the four red moons, and we'll be talking more about that in the future. We got four red moons happening, by the way, in starting in 16 months from now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, the moon turns to blood, and you know, this could be it.
Yeah.
Mm. And everybody goes, that's not it. Dude, Jesus don't even know. Shut up. Listen, it could be now.
Right.
It could be now. Don't listen to people telling you. The worst thing in the world is somebody to convince you that it's not right now, not tomorrow, and you're not prepared, and you're like the unprepared virgin.
Yeah.
Because five of them didn't go. But that God's going to defend, and he was talking, you know, prophetically and biblically and how things are going to happen. It's not going to be Armageddon, but he's going to deal with this radical Islamic caliphate surrounding Israel, trying to destroy Israel. And he's going to stand up for Israel, and like 80%, wasn't it like 80%? 80% of their armies would be destroyed.
Wow.
That's a huge percentage of them. And it's like, oh my goodness. Listen, if you are debating whether you should be Islamic or not, I just want to encourage you, begin to go and seek after the Lord Jesus Christ. Be a part of the one who won't be during that definite time of disaster. I mean, that's going to be a huge disaster right there. So, John, tell us what's going on in the snowy, snowyville, man, of the Northeast.
Oh, my goodness. We did get some snow the other day. Woke up in the morning and found a couple of inches of snow on the ground, but it's all melted by now. But 2-hour delays for everybody. But I do have to tell you, Isaiah really enjoyed the 2-hour delay, but I didn't get a chance to tell you, or I might have. I don't remember, but this is he told me again today, reminded me. You know, Isaiah's reading the 90 Minutes of Heaven Young Reader's Version.
Oh, they call it have a Young Reader's Version?
They have a Young Reader's Version.
Can you make that available on the Torch for?
Yeah. So they have a Young Reader's Version, and he is on chapter 13 or 14 of this book, and he is so enjoying it, and he just can't stop talking about Don Piper's, you know, encounter in heaven. But he takes the book to school, and he has it on the corner of his desk because he wants to read it every chance he has. And one of his classmates looks over and says, can I read that? Are you done with it? He says, I'm not done with it. She's like, well, can I read it for a little while? So she says, yes. So she reads it and brings it back, I guess, after lunch or something. She goes, oh, this book is awesome. Can I please have it? Can you hurry up and read it? Can I please? I want to read this. So he's like, I'm almost done with it. As soon as I'm finished, I'll give it to you. So he told me again this morning, he says, Dad, every day she just wants to keep reading my book, and just heaven is just so awesome, and we're talking about heaven all day in class, and I got to hurry up and read it because she wants this book, Dad. She really, really wants this book. And I thought, how cool is that?
It's very cool. And it's good news. I mean, that's what we have. We have good news. It's great news that, you know, our Lord Jesus Christ is preparing a place for us. I mean, it's not about this life. I got news for you. It's been good to this point, but if you're living for this life of the season we're about to come in, you're going to be a miserable man and a miserable woman.
Miserable, because it all ends. You know, it all ends.
It always has. I mean, history, and of course, the generation that it ends in, they're shocked because they don't even know what it took to be there.
Right.
And then the cycle of humility comes and turning back to God, you know, happens in the context of that. And but we're going to be sharing a little bit about that today, because it's going to take pioneers. Mm. It's going to take pioneers in the spirit, pioneers in the kingdom of God. And we're going to talk about that when we come back from this break. You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me.
Mm.
And you're very thankful. You're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books. They got the books memorized, you know. They got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever. And so, you know, they're just like, oh, my goodness. And The greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's mm-hmm. right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell
mm-hmm.
and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear his voice and obey. And we call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God and survival in the context of living through this in a way that you're free, is to know God, to abide with God, to hear his voice, and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity. And our response, we need to hear his word. We need to get to know his voice better. Be absolutely resolved to know his voice better. And we need to get better at obeying his voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Listen, that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study his word, then you'll understand he always rescues his people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to his plan. You have to know him. You have to understand how to hear his voice.
Yeah.
And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you, a simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology. And it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org. I want to thank you for everybody that's joining in on our Facebook. You know, you can get to it by going to vfntv.com, or you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV. It's easier to go to VFNTV and click on that. But think about it. It is so cool. Every day, no matter where you are, inside the community with over a billion people now, 1/6 of the world's population is in this particular community. Everybody's saying, you got a Facebook. We got a Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
We got a Facebook, and it's over, I don't know, it's over 5,000. It's just clicking up, and just you're joining us, and we're so excited about that because every day we're in communication. All the highlights that are on your VFN TV app, that's at VFNTV.com, is also on your Facebook, so it follows us everywhere we go. We got a virtual audience, a virtual stadium, if you would, that's being filled all around the world, and now we're in the Facebook community. Thank you, and if you have not yet, you know, go to our Facebook and like us. Go to Facebook.com/VFNTV and click on like. And what does that mean? When you do that, every post that goes out on our Facebook shows up on your Facebook every single day. So mm-hmm. you can say, hey, that segment was about me. I want to be encouraged today. Maybe every day you listen to the wisdom moment. Maybe there's God's news behind the news and something's coming up that says, you know, I needed to know what God's perspective, the word is on that particular thing. Listen, this is the conversation that we're having together in the virtual audience of our Facebook. Go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook, or at VFNFacebook.com/VFNTV. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I am your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. We're just talking about pioneers. It's going to take a pioneer. Every generation has their pioneers. They're pioneers to be able to take that generation into or protect and bring about whatever that is in that generation, but also in the kingdom of God. And it's just so, so very important. We're thinking and looking back at those who have been pioneers in the past. You think about it. It takes a pioneer in each generation to be able to do this. And the question is, of course, always who are the pioneers for that generation? And when you think about it, pioneers are taking people to a place that exists only in their heart. And you know, they're carriers. They're carriers. They understand. When you think about Apple, and it was inside of its founder, and he had to constantly keep his hand on the helm and do a pioneering work. Whether it's good or evil, we will find out in the long run. But their logo is an apple with a bite out of it. But it sure is a good technology.
Yeah, right.
And I mean, just think about the pioneers. So the pioneers, these are people. Pioneers are not people that are saying, just tell me what to do and I'm just going to do it. Pioneers are willing to go where no man has gone before. Pioneers are willing to pick up where the last pioneers left off. And they're not looking to relive what was done already, you know, give me that old-time religion. They're actually looking at taking it to the next level. You know, God, I don't have to believe you for this because this has already happened already.
Right.
I mean, you think about it, even in the context of America, that George Washington, General George Washington, President George Washington, he was a pioneer. I mean, one day everybody was, you know, under Great Britain, you know, in which the sun never set on its kingdom. It was so huge. And the people who were in America in the 13 colonies, they were British. They were British. But one day it became self-evident that it was time to be pioneers and do a pioneering work, which we're living in today, by the way, but was in the heart of General George Washington and a few others that said, you know what, we got to have representative government. The king is not over the church. We need to be able to worship freely. We need to be able to assure that tyranny won't happen again. You know, these concepts and ideas, and it's just a battlefield of ideas, and America is an idea. But it was in the hearts of these pioneers that said, we're willing to do it. And they understood that hey, if you're not successful, you know, it's not going to be good for you. You're not going to make it. But the truth is, they didn't want to live where they were. They were driven by the pioneering spirit in their heart. They were carriers of a dream, of a vision, of an idea, of what we call the United States of America today. But it wasn't. It wasn't at that time. At that time, it was just an idea. Listen, this is not right, what's going on. We need to step out of what we're doing. This is insanity. If we keep complaining, but yet we're doing the same thing over and over again. And they stepped out and they began to say, you know, they got what they call a ragtag army together. And they said, they wrote a letter to the king and said, listen, we are declaring our independence. We call it a Declaration of Independence. And they listed, 27 reasons why. I mean, it's just no-brainer idea. This is why, you know. And they're being very respectful and very honorable, but saying, listen, all of our rights come from God. And that everybody has them. And we're just gonna go for it. We're gonna go for it. We're ready to go for it. And it just existed in the hearts of these few men, and they knew that everything was gonna be against them, almost.
Everything was on the line.
I mean, think about it. The church was not, because the church was also Great Britain, because the king was over it. If you left the church, if you decided, hey, I'm gonna switch churches and left the Church of England, they consider that treason. Mm-hmm. That's like leaving the country. That's why you go to Germany today. People talk about the church in Germany, but the government's over it. It's the largest Catholic church in the world there, but they're the ones that collect the tithe. The government collects the tithe. And by joining the church, they say, you know, you are a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh my goodness. Listen, we don't want to lose this. Anyway, so he was a pioneer. He's a pioneer. And right now we just have followers. People say they're not followers because it just doesn't sound cool. But the truth is, it's just one big herd of followers. You know, they're just going to, people just look who they want to follow. As a matter of fact, they even have Twitter, and Twitter is about what?
Following.
Followers. Mm-hmm. Who are you going to follow? Who are you going to follow? Who are you going to follow? And the thing is, like, what about you? Think about this. Or think about this. Think about more so, you know, in closer to our time, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a minister in Georgia. You know, that he was a pioneer. He believed that it was time to apply the Constitution to every man in America. He didn't favor one over another. He just said, listen, there needs to be justice for everybody, including the African American who was not being treated fairly and didn't, their constitutional rights were being denied. And he just began to be a pioneer. I mean, I think about the commitment card when he had people that would join him in his standing up for civil rights and doing what's right. I love it. We got to make this part of our of the torch. But yet, this we have to have the mindset because we're going. We're gonna have to be pioneers in this generation. You don't quit. You know, when somebody says, "You know," we'll talk about that in a minute. But listen to this pledge. This is the pledge that he had everybody sign. This is the commitment card. If you were going to walk with Dr. Martin Luther King, a minister, a Christian, you had to sign this. You put your name, your address on it, your next relative, and all this kind of stuff on it. But the first thing he says, I hereby pledge myself. And these are the ones for those generations that don't know, many don't know in this generation, that you hear in your history books, but it's real, that the African-American was not only enslaved, but once the Emancipation Proclamation was signed and the executive order from President Lincoln, that there still was racism rampant all over this country, injustices, you know, things like separate but equal, and they were, you know, it was just evil, pride, racism, and all this. And so there wasn't fair justice for all. Everybody didn't get the fair justice. And so he said, listen, there needs to be civil rights for all, for everyone. And he's a minister. He did it in the love of God. And this is the mindset we're going to have. We're going to have to be a pioneer. But, you know, we can grab a hold of what, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King had in his heart. And just listening to his niece talk, oh, my goodness, you know, and she's a minister today. But you had to sign this pledge. This is the pledge you have to sign. If you're going to march with me, if you're going to walk down the same street with me, if you're going to say you're part of what we're doing, this is what you had to sign. I hereby pledge myself, my person and body, to the nonviolent movement. Think about it. Very first thing. Therefore, I will keep the following 10 commandments. Number one, meditate daily on the teachings and life of Jesus.
Wow.
You know, you had to abide to be with Dr. King.
Wow.
Is that not awesome?
Yeah.
It's like, you're not marching with me. I don't have... Go through those commitment cards. Go through that Rolodex. So, you know, back then you had Rolodex. So, go on a fight. No, Malcolm, you're not part of this because you're violent, right?
All right.
No, Black Panthers, you're not part of this because you're violent. But what I'm doing, you got to sign a commitment card here. Mm. And the first thing says, you got to be abiding with Jesus. Mm. Is that beautiful?
Yeah.
So everybody that was legitimately a part of that movement of civil rights movement that what Dr. King was leading, he's a pioneer now. He said, you know, he put this card together, and people have to commitment card. So the first thing was meditate daily on the teachings and life of Jesus. The second one is to remember always that the nonviolent movement over, he's going to reiterate that because the fact is that, you know, as Christians, and he was a Christian, you know, when you read the Quran talks about making preparations for war. That's totally opposite of us. We don't make preparations to war in the name of Jesus. Although the Crusaders got way off in the Dark Ages, that was wrong. And we're just supposed to walk like Dr. King set an example to be able to walk. But he's, and we're obviously like Jesus. He's, remember always, this is the second one. This is the commitment card for walking with Dr. King and what he was doing. Remember always that the nonviolent movement seeks justice and reconciliation, not victory. How many times I've saw these guys, you know, who they label everything, but they label, you know, this is the conservative movement, you know, I wish, you know, but, and all of a sudden something succeeds, and the arrogance and the pride and the victory marches, and it's like, you know, is that what we really want as Christians? Now, I'm not talking about people that aren't Christians, but as Christians, Dr. King said, listen, that's just beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if anybody, the injustices that was happening to the African American, that happened to, in his sight, I mean, it's a horrific thing that happened to him, but just happened for, since the beginning of America. And he said, we're not trying to aim for victory. Listen, as Christians, victory's already been received for us on the cross of Christ. So when there is, you know, we've already won already. Now we're supposed to walk rightly before the Lord. So he says, remember, this is number two, remember always that the nonviolent, and listen, you got to get this, because don't let the bully pulpit of Washington get you to do wrong things. I don't know what the particular title of that segment is, but you gotta don't swing, don't let them push you to do evil, because this is Dr. King's got it. He has it right here. Remember always that this nonviolent movement seeks justice and reconciliation, not victory. And justice is beautiful. I mean, God says in His Word, He says, "No one cries for justice," and that's where we are today. And the reason why I believe that men do not cry for justice because they feel like they're going to be having given a life sentence because they're sinful. You're sinful. We don't understand that justice was served out on the cross of Christ. So when we begin to cry for justice, it runs us to the cross of Christ, because in Romans chapter 5, God said, "To prove that I'm a just God and the one who justifies at just the right time, I offered up my son as a sacrifice." So justice, when you begin to cry for justice, you start looking, you know, it may start off where you're pointing your finger at somebody else, and then you'll have this Holy Spirit flash of your need for a Savior and your sin, and you just start running. Oh my goodness, this cross I'm preaching, I better run to it quickly.
Which way to the cross?
Yeah, have you seen the cross? No, not in that church. Not in that church. Anyway, so, and I think that's beautiful. So when we understand that, once we can cry for justice, which is putting things back in their godly, rightly order. Number three on the commitment card for being able to walk with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and this card was written, by the way, in 1963. It's pretty interesting to me. That happened to be the year that I was born.
That's right.
Oh, now you know I'm not 29. Anyway, so, and then he says, number three is walk and talk in the manner of love, for God is love. Mm. I'm like, this dude was so awesome that you want to hang out with his niece.
Yeah.
isn't that amazing? You know,
yeah.
He's like, you were hanging around with him. I mean, people have used him and promoted themselves off of him, but the people that walked in the same spirit as this, you know, with him, are they're just it's just beautiful. And this is it. And this is we're this conservative movement. We need to go back, and we need to have Ronald Reagan. No, you don't have Ronald Reagan. You have Dr. King. We need to go back and look at Dr. King, not Dr. Ronald Reagan, and go look at Dr. King and say that's who we need to the church now. We need to model ourselves after him, mm-hmm. and what he stood for and what he walked for, because it was beautiful. And it was horrific, but his heart was beautiful. Number four in the commitment card that you have to sign if you're going to walk with Dr. King is pray daily to be used by God in order that all men might be free. I mean, think about that. Do you know Dr. King today, based on that commitment, he'd probably be disturbed over the fact that we're turning over all these nations to radical Islam and putting people under servitude, because that's the opposite of what he wanted. That's not what he wanted. He was wanting freedom for all men. For all men. Isn't that beautiful? And it's like, you know, we're not okay with just putting people in captivity. That's not what we want them to be free. And then number five is, because Jesus came to set us free, right?
Right.
Then we have number five on the commitment card to walk with Dr. King. Is sacrifice personal wishes in order that all men might be free. Well, number four was daily pray to be used by God in order that all men might be free. Now, number five is now you're praying about all men being free. I want you to sacrifice personal wishes in order that all men might be free. What does that mean? Well, just lay down your life.
Right.
Lay down. If your generation has to lay down for the next generation, and when you hear people say things, and I admit, you got to be a fool not to understand what's going on in America, because there's a lot of complicated issues going on right here because of the mistreatment of the African American in America, that you can't just throw a blanket statement over this. Somebody would said one particular, I'm not going to say who it was, just made this statement. They said it's not about Obama, it's about your mama. And what he's saying was, my mama's been mistreated. My mama had to do this. My mother had to do that. She marched with Dr. King. She got all these freedoms. She stood up for what's right. She went to jail. She did all these different things. And I understand that. Mm-hmm. I totally get it. And we're a fool not to get that. But then we have to bring that in the paradigm of, okay, but let's look at everything. That are we meditating on the teachings of Jesus? Is this the right direction mm-hmm. that we're going?
You know what I'm saying? So it's very complicated, and it's complicated in the context that we're getting turned in on ourselves. What's happening is just all kind of turning in on ourselves. And our hope is right here, what we're reading from Dr. King's pledge card and the Word of God. But then he says in number six, he says, observe, and I really believe that our president right now, President Barack Obama, you know, based on a study of his life done by a professor in a New York university, I don't know if it's Christ's King, I don't know what
King's.
Say it again?
King's College
in New York. And I think he did a documentary on his life, Obama 2016, I believe it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And you can feel really empathetic. You can understand, oh. But then you start thinking, wait a minute, this is not your experience. He does not have the African American experience in America. It's not his experience. That's the African American's experience.
Mm-hmm.
But we're a part of that. You know what I'm saying? And there, right. So this is what I believe. I believe this. I feel it in my heart. I believe that the prophetic word spoken by Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries, where he said, because of the oppression of the African American, that the revival, and I'm believing a third great awakening would come to America, being led by the African American people in America. But see, what happens first is the counterfeit shows up first.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe he has the same story. You know, Kechara and I were talking about that at the gathering, and she was reminding me of my own words, and she's right, that you know, born wherever, lived, you know, Indonesia and Kenya and, you know, all these areas. And that's not the American experience. That's not the person who's coming from generations, as did most of the African-Americans that are American. So I believe, you know, I want you to hold on. Don't slam your doors on what the enemy's trying to twist. Be ready for what God's going to do to the African-Americans in America. It's going to be exciting, I believe. But in the context of that, I mean, look what he did through Dr. King as we're talking now. Then number six in the commitment card that you have to sign to be able to walk with Dr. King was observe with both friend and foe the ordinary rules of courtesy.
Hmm.
So you had to be nice not only to your friends,
to your enemy,
but you had to be nice to that. Oh my goodness! I mean, if you watch the videos and the pictures and this guy standing with a billy club over your daughter,
yeah.
Who signed this card. So she's going like, oh, what was the card? Da-da-da-da-da-da. She's thumbing through her mind. What was this commitment again?
Mm.
You know, and then
or a dog on a leash.
Oh, yeah, and then the dogs and the fire hoses. Fire.
Yeah.
And you're struggling with, am I willing to lay down my life? Am I willing? This is how we, the church, are going to have to do, because Dr. King, part of the church, you know, minister in the gospel, a Christian, he understood, and look what he did. He turned an entire nation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it cost him his life, and we have to be willing to do that. I mean, there's a reason why streets and holidays and everything is named after Dr. King, because he made he was a pioneer that says, listen, it is just time. And so then not only observe, number six, observe with both friends and foe the ordinary rules of courtesy. We'll be right back in a moment with the rest of these 10.
Don't forget, it's the weekend. You know what that means? It's the VFN Radio Marathon Weekend. That's when you get a chance to listen to back-to-back radio programs that were aired this week. Yeah, you know what? The weekend is busy. You may be in different places, but I like to say that it's VFN Radio on the go. Just like on the app, you can listen to VFN Radio all weekend long because it's the Marathon Weekend. Don't miss it. Get plugged in. Don't forget. VFN Radio Marathon Weekend.
I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach mm-hmm. McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get
right.
people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America.
Mm-hmm.
Then eventually that filled stadiums, but the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. We had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just for $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. We were just talking about the 10 commitments, the 10 commandments on the commitment card to be able to walk with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And they're just powerful, powerful. Aren't they powerful commitments?
Yeah, powerful. I mean,
this is the heart we have to have. If we're going to transform ourselves, if we're going to transform a nation back to where its original intent, just holding them to what's on the paper, Dr. King said, You know, we need to take the same mindset as a man, those that have walked before. He says, imitate those that have gone before. He's a pioneer, pioneer. We need pioneers for this generation. You know, what does it demand from us? And I look at the seventh of the Ten Commandments, the commitment card that you had to be able to sign. It says, seek to perform regular service for others and for the world. Is that why? It's like, oh, wow. My goodness, how beautiful are these Ten Commandments to be able to be a part of the Civil Rights Movement with Dr. King? It's just beautiful, beautiful. The eighth one is, refrain from the violent fist, tongue, or heart.
Wow.
That's just beautiful, isn't it?
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, we were just talking about that, you know, the bully pulpit, be careful. And he totally, this is an apostle. This is a pioneer. Wow. Dr. King was a pioneer, an apostle, and that all the evil strongholds that had racism and all that stuff hated what this man was standing for, which he's standing for God and what was right and freeing a people from oppression and and racism and injustice. And so then the ninth commandment of the commitment card walking with Dr. King was strive to be in good spirit and bodily health. Think about it. Strive, in other words, make an effort to, when we're walking down the street together, I mean, you got to do some physical exertions here. Where if we're gonna do what we have to do to stand for what's right for the Constitution and do what's right before and treat all men well and all these commandments he's talking about, then we got to be in physical health. We're gonna do some walking. We're gonna be pressed together in different situations, and you just don't know. I mean, you know, we can be so out of shape that we just step off a curve and throw our back out. That's a little ridiculous. You know, we got to get in the physical and spiritual health for what's about to take place. And I encourage you to begin to think about, you know, make sure your body's able to handle where we're going. Make sure your spirit is strong enough to do what you got to do what God's called us to do in our generation. And then finally, this pioneer, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the 10th commandment of the commitment card you had to sign to be able to walk alongside him. And this totally throws out all these twisted mindsets that the people are trying to change what his heart was. He says, to follow the directions of the movement and of the captain of a demonstration. In other words, you had to be a person under authority. You can't just go do your own. I mean, who's leading this particular event, this movement, and then you follow them. Isn't that great?
Wow.
That's good.
And then you would put your name, your address, your phone, your nearest relative, and their address. Think about that. And what does the doctor... When you go into the doctor's office or you go into a hospital or an ambulance or something, what do they say? Well, who's your nearest kin, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't know if you're going to make it or not. You don't know if you're going to make it or not. I mean, if you're going into a place of danger, a place where you're going to be threatened and you're going to be peaceful, Jesus, he got nailed to a cross.
Yeah.
You know, we saw what happened to Dr. King. We saw what happened to many of our brothers and sisters in America, and understand that they were ready. They were ready to lay down their lives for the cause. And then it says, besides, in the very bottom of the card, it says, besides demonstrations, I could also help the movement by, and it says, circle the proper items, run errands, drive my car, fix food for volunteers, clerical work, make phone calls, answer phones, mimeograph, that's like make copies, everybody, type, that's keyboarding, type. Print signs and distribute pamphlets or leaflets. Isn't that awesome?
Wow.
That's totally awesome. And it's going to take pioneers. It's going to take pioneers to be able to do. He's an apostle, a minister, a Christian, a beloved son of the Lord, obviously, that God would touch him in such a way to just shake a nation and bring justice back. And listen, that's his heart. And that's God's heart. What he put on that card, that is God's heart. And so I'm not saying that God was lining up with Dr. King. I'm saying Dr. King was lining up with God.
Right.
And so not to line up with that is us not to line up with God. That is the mindset we got to have. I'm going to talk about so much more in a moment about a pioneering spirit. But you got to think about this. Think about this. In the extra hour, I'll be talking more about this. But it's going to take a pioneering spirit. Think about definition of a pioneering spirit. is somebody that's got something inside of them that nobody else has inside of them. And they're going to be the ones that carry it there. The definition of pioneering spirit is a person or a group that is the first to do something or to lead in the developing of something new. Let me say it again. A pioneer is a person or a group that is the first to do something or that leads in the developing of something new, or a person who is one of the first from another country or a region to explore or to settle in a new area. And the last definition is a foot soldier whose duties include going ahead of the main company to construct things to pave the way for them. I mean, that's what Dr. King was, a foot soldier for God, to be able to prepare the way, what I believe is the Third Great Awakening, what's going to be happening in America. And there's so much I want to share with you. There's so much more. Listen, maybe you are that pioneer. Maybe that's who you are. I want you to join me in the extra hour. I'm going to go on talking about this pioneering spirit because we've got so many pioneers that have gone before us. But the question is, who are the pioneers in this generation? Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those that are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.